Good day now. Well, hey, gang, welcome back. As we watched off 189, I did that off the top of my head and did not ask before the show what the number was. So, I am Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Yeah, nothing much. Enjoying this cool day in Texas. It's actually cooled down to 99 degrees.
Ooh.
It's a cold front.
I think we're 98 with some ridiculous amount of humidity.
Yeah. And it's the coldest day this week. It's been in the hundreds most of the week.
So why again do you live there? Like, I question, like, Charlotte's supposed to be, like, northern south, and...
You would like to know why I live in Texas? Texas is probably the only state that has a combination of low cost of living, high salary, and enough stuff where you actually would want to live there.
Okay. Well,
that's why I live in Texas.
Sounds fair.
Because most states that have low cost of living, you don't want to live there. Most states that pay a lot of money have a high cost of living, and... You have like states that have both, you necessarily don't want to be there, like Detroit.
Yeah. So, hey, I love my hometown, but yeah, there's a reason I've never had the itch to go back.
Yeah. So,
well,
I will say,
when I first moved down here, I was like, oh no, I'm getting the fuck out of here and go back to Detroit. And then you go, yeah, I'll deal with 99 degree days for four weeks.
Yeah, like it's hot, but it's a dry heat. You know what's not fun though? When you have to get a brand new lawnmower and they leave it in your driveway and it's in a black box and you try to pick it up and you almost burn your damn hands off.
Well, that's what you get for buying an electric one. So
no, it's yeah. Well, I got a gas one now.
Yes.
No, I was gonna say American made, but it's a Honda. So
well, made in America, I guess, but. Truly American made, I suppose.
Sorry, environment. I had to get a gas guzzler. You know, I got a good 2 years, 2.5 years on my electric one, and it just didn't turn on. So I'm like, nah, I'm going to get what I should have got in the first place.
Yeah, no, Kevin, when he was here, he said that he has an electric one too. And I went, oh, okay. Which doesn't surprise me. But I don't know. It's probably fine. They probably work just fine. But I don't trust them to get the job done. So
yeah, it has its plus. Like the plus, you just put the battery in and go. Not a lot of maintenance. Yeah. The minuses are my yard's big enough, so I have to recharge at least once. And then any semi-high grass, that thing is dead in the water. It will just stop. Like no, I'm okay. Not about that life.
Yep. So no, that's not for me then. So well, anyways, we're not here to talk about lawnmowers. We had a couple things. Really, it's been kind of slow as far as I can tell. And I didn't get a chance to. Well, I talked wrestling with Kevin about Absolution 14 from Cleveland. And we actually did more of like an overview of Cleveland wrestling from when we were there. So I think we had more to explore, but check that out if you want. But so TakeOver, it was a busy weekend. So we had TakeOver, the G1 finals, and SummerSlam. And I'm sure I'm missing something else. So well, but did you catch any of the G1?
No.
Okay.
I was at work, so I caught TakeOver on my tablet and had to restart that about 4 times.
Oh.
No, because I would start to watch it, and then the sound wouldn't sync with the screen, and then the screen would go back to what was happening like 30 minutes ago. So it'd be showing like pre-show stuff with like the current match.
Yeah.
And it did that for like the first 30-45 minutes, and then SummerSlam, it kept doing it. Like that was the worst I've had like network in a long time.
So that's crazy. I've heard a lot of people complaining about that, and all of my feeds for TakeOver, for everything, has been just fine. I haven't had one single problem, so I'm pretty happy. I mean, I'm not trying to jinx myself, but.
Yeah, like, and I didn't have problems watching anything else. Like, I was watching NXT, and that was fine. And after those events, it was fine. Just those events, it was just happening. No, so I didn't see G1.
Okay.
I saw basically WWE stuff, and I've actually started watching women are wrestling.
Okay, I'm gonna go off of the 4 episodes I watched when it first came on Access TV.
Mm-hmm.
I tried. And you know I love women's wrestling, so this killed me. I hated that show.
It's modern day Glow.
Oh, and I just...
Basically. And if you're not a fan of that, you ain't gonna be a fan. Oh, I can definitely see. It's definitely... And like, we talked about Lucha Underground, it's definitely an acquired taste. Like, if you like Glow, and it's, you know, my modernized version, it's fine. If you didn't, you will not like this at all.
Well, I mean, they had tests. All right, so they would have one thing, and I'm based. I remember, I did not see the new season yet. I saw it was on and just went, nope. So I'm watching this, and the one that really like turned me off, I do not remember the woman's name. She had a really cool story about, like, her parents didn't want her doing this. They didn't support her. Like, throughout her whole life, she was basically not supported, and she was different and all this, right? And you're like, oh, wow, I can get behind this girl's story. This is pretty good. All right, let's see what she... And then she comes out as some dipshit from, like, the early 80s. I went, this doesn't make any sense. Like, she wasn't the character that they literally just showed their video package for. And then she lost. And I'm going, what? And then they had, I think, is her name Jungle Woman?
Jungle Girl.
Is it Jungle Girl? Oh, okay.
Yes.
And then they had Jungle Girl versus Tessa Blanchard. And it was a good match. And then something stupid at the end happened. And I went, you know what? I'm not doing this to myself. And I never went back. So, yeah.
No, it's funny because I was watching the first episode. Because I had to record. I'm like, let me get a try. And I see Santana Gary on my phone. I'm like, how come she was never signed? And it's funny, the day I started watching, we were talking about it like 2 hours later.
Yep.
It was announced that she was signed at NXT.
Yes. Well, it was her, and then who's the Kylie Rae? Is that her name? For NXT UK. She just got signed. She was on the first season. And I was like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden I see her on NXT UK, and I'm like, oh, well, things sure have changed. So I think that was her, at least. Anyways. But no, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll give it another shot. I wasn't a big fan of Lucha Underground to begin with, either. So,
but Lucha Underground was more kind of like, you know, if you get to the crazy aspect, it's definitely different. This is kind of like, you know, I like GLOW. Imagine GLOW with, like, modern wrestlers. Yeah. That's kind of like a real... I mean, maybe it's a second season, and it helps having, like, Jeannie Buss, you know, as a backer.
Yeah, I forgot about that part, but I don't know. I mean, it's... I'm not gonna I don't complain about more wrestling. Let's put it that way.
No, like, I watched TakeOver. I enjoyed TakeOver.
Yeah.
And it's just funny, kind of like, I'm seeing the stuff TakeOver does, and it's like, it's... I'm still amazed at Triple H.
Yep.
Because I see that entrance by Velveteen Dream, and I'm like, it ain't no way in the world Kevin Dunn is having that on his television. He would not be cool enough. He would not have the freedom to just let them do that at all.
But
something that small.
But remember, they used to.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, and that's the weirdest thing about WWE now is all of that stuff. Like that was basically. How it was, like whatever was like the cutting edge thing, not cutting edge, but like the pop culture thing, they were all over it. And that aspect is totally gone.
It was a time when Ice-T let out the Godfather and D'Lo Brown at WrestleMania.
Yes!
It's kind of like the last time something that cool happened was when Snoop Dogg let out Sasha Banks.
Yeah, and that's her uncle, right? Her cousin?
Cousin. Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, they used to do cool stuff. And they rarely do cool stuff on the main rosters. Like, NXT's just cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's just cool and it's fun. It's like, none of the matches seem like, all the matches were fun and different ways. And I was surprised because they're like, TakeOver, I was assuming, oh, you know, Undisputed Era is going to sweep and get all the belts.
Yeah.
And that was kind of vibe. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know, they seem, you know, like, oh, Street Profits, they on Raw all the time, so them lose the belt. I'm like, yeah, they don't wrestle on Raw, they still wrestle NXT. I doubt they lose the belt, like, basically like a month after they got it, so they won a good match. Montez Ford is amazing, that Frog Splash is insane.
They messed up the first angle that I was kind of annoyed. They messed it up, but then they caught it on the replay, which was good. But that man, was that a legit 12 feet in the air?
I wouldn't be because it's
maybe eight to ten, maybe I should slow down. But regardless,
he's not a small man.
No,
and he does, and it does. And the funny thing is, he does super athletic stuff, and it doesn't look like he's have to struggle to do it. Like it just looks like easy, and like him and Velveteen Dream like cheat codes because they have body types that don't look like they can do the stuff they can do.
It was, yeah, I saw Montez in person at Evolve. I can't remember who he was taking on, but oh, JD Drake, and he did the ricochet where he jumped over the top rope and landed on his feet, and that was right next to me, and I lost my shit because, I mean, I'm not a small person, and he towered over me, and I mean, I'm 6'2", 6'3", depending on where they have their thing positioned. And he looked like he was a foot taller than me. I mean, he wasn't, yeah. But it sure as hell seemed like it. So,
and you know what's funny? Angelo Dawkins like 6'5", 260, and okay. He does not look that big.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned him. Remember how he was like the afterthought of that group?
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of come along.
Yes.
Like, so I guess, I don't know if getting utilized more has given him the confidence that he needed, but, man, that... That's a spear, tackle, whatever they're calling that thing. Good Lord, that looks like he's killing people.
Yeah, because it's not like I'm lightly hitting you and then bouncing off. Like, I'm hitting you and then I'm falling on you.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it looks like, it just looks painful.
Yeah, I mean, poor Wesley Blake. I still remember the ladder match where he put him into the first row, basically.
Yeah. So, Fisher O'Reilly, like, they... I'm not as big a fan as Undisputed Era as some people, but I recognize how good they are in the ring, and like they are very good at what they do. I don't know how it would translate on the main roster because the size is an issue, but it's like where they are now, it works.
It doesn't appear to me that they're actually going up to the main roster anytime soon. I don't know. Did you watch NXT this week? Yeah, the new episode.
Yeah, I did.
It almost seems like now they're going to beat the Street Profits, because they showed I love the angle where, you know, O'Reilly gets pushed in the fish and that constitutes a tag now.
Mm-hmm.
So if Regal agrees, then they get a rematch, and then I could see him losing, but or not. I mean, now they've got Breezango back, who didn't look like they missed a goddamn beat, or at least Fandango didn't.
Yeah, and I saw that match too. Like, you know, it's kind of like it's one of those Tyler Breeze going back to NXT, giving them something to do is like a good, they need to do that more often. And they used to do that more often. Like, yeah. If you're not using them on the main roster, and they were, put them in NXT, have them do something like a month or two. It's like, you know, keeps them busy, has the crowd remember, oh yeah, like Tyler Breeze used to be real fun back when he was here. I'm reminded of that now.
Well, it's also like, hey, remember Tyler Breeze could wrestle before? Oh, yeah. Hey, remember Johnny Curtis? Yeah, he used to wrestle too, but... Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And you forget, like, you know, you see the gimmick and stuff. He's athletic. Like, he can wrestle. He just never really... I don't know if it's kind of like the gimmick just overshadowed it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah,
like that.
But it was funny with... I'm only interrupting because I want to make sure I remember this. Mm-hmm. You cracked me up when I was talking about how I love Shayna because she's just so arrogant and such a dick. And then you go, I'm not rooting for her blockhead ass.
I'm sorry.
I laughed my ass off. And Elise goes, yeah, I'm with Shahid. I was like, she hates her. Elise can't stand Shayna Baszler.
I can't stand it. I mean, it's for the right reason. Like, my friends enjoy. I cannot stand. It's like if Chong Li had help. Chong Li don't need help. Like, that's... That's the thing that bothers me. She's already good. Like, she's already great.
Yeah.
They already established that she's a badass. And now she got to cheat? Like, whoa, that seems like this is... It's just she's as awesome at just playing an unlikable badass heel. Like, she has that. She's what they wanted Baron Corbin to be.
And the funny thing is, did you watch... I know we're going to... This is jumping ahead a little, but did you watch the watch-along with her and Riddle?
I saw bits and pieces. I saw Matt Riddle talking the story about how he met Goldberg.
Yeah.
And she, yeah, losing her shit, just laughing her ass off. And it's just weird seeing her happy.
Well, then, did you see when she was talking about how Goldberg trained with Mark Coleman?
I missed that part.
Okay, it was... So, this is... I know this will rub people the wrong way, but I kind of love Matt Riddle when he's just being himself, being a tool. Because it's natural and it's kind of entertaining. So when she says, well, because he was talking about when Goldberg did a super kick that one time. And he goes, you remember that atrocity? Yeah, he did it that one time. And you see Titus looking at him like, kid, Because you got grown man in Titus O'Neil, and then you got like a man child essentially in Riddle, just talking mad shit. Like
you know who he, like you know who he did it to, right?
No. Oh God, it was Bret Hart.
Yes, that's another guy who's looking like that, aka why Bret Hart retired.
Forgot. I know he's done it other times, but he was just being a smartass. Oh, maybe that's what he was getting at too.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly because he's done it before. Like he's had matches with Glacier and busted it out, but no.
Yeah. No.
So,
but Shayna mentioned that he trained with Mark Coleman, or at whatever dojo or house, whatever they call him, for training. And he goes, "Oh, so besides not having a mat game, he doesn't have a stand-up game either." And Shayna just looks at him and just starts busting up laughing again, like, okay, dig your own hole. But it was just fun seeing her out of character. Like,
yeah,
she seems pretty cool. So
I mean, yeah, it's funny, and it's funny that they do stuff like that.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird.
You know, because it's kind of like NXT's already this whole insider thing anyway, and this seemed like even more insider than normal. Like, watch our people watch this. You know, because like, if you watch NXT... you've never seen Shayna Baszler smile at all. Unless she, after she beats somebody, you never really see her like, you know, I'm just pleasant.
You know, usually it's a smile with a mouthpiece in. So mm-hmm. It just looks weird anyways.
So, yeah. But,
match, though. I know some people shit on it. I'm sorry. I really like that one. The fact that she choked out Mia Yim with her legs.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
No, it worked because she had to do something different. And Mia Yim was basically hanging with her because Mia Yim was cheating. And that was the whole point. Like, I ain't wrestling clean. Forget that crap.
And Nigel actually called Beth out on it too. Later on. So whenever Mia was cheating, Beth was okay with it. But mm-hmm. then later on, when Adam Cole cheated, she was all over his case. And Nigel goes, "Well, wait a minute. What's the difference?" And Beth was just kind of silent. And I'm like, "Is this Renee and Corey again? Like, Jesus."
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like, what is the difference? It's funny where I didn't mind some commentaries. I don't mind. I'm like, if I never hear Corey Graves again, I will be fine. But I'll get to that later. No, I want to talk about...
I already know what this is about. So.
Yeah, but I want to talk about Candice LeRae Io Shirai match. I was getting mad. Not because the match wasn't good. The match was excellent. I'm like, Candice can't hang with her. At all. And like, no offense to Candice LeRae, she's fine, like she's good, but it's kind of like seeing like a good amateur against a great professional. Like Io as a heel is just a damn monster.
Yeah, and she's got the cool music, the cool lighting, it's borderline like, oh my god, this is great, instead of, no, I don't like her. And what did we describe it as when we were talking? It was like, yeah, she's got the Mortal Kombat entrance now. And it's just cool. But
hello.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah, so it's like, you know, she comes out with the new music. They already, you know, she's already better as a heel anyway. Mm-hmm. And then she just wrestles like a badass. Like she didn't even let her tap. She grabbed her hand to make sure like, no, I'm putting you to sleep. It ain't no tap out.
Yeah. And that was just all right. All I was doing this in the middle anyways. Best match of the night? I think it's a hard call.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because the main event, I felt like they just did too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that for sure.
I mean, just all those, like, you know, you're doing Canadian Destroyers onto the ground getting a two count seems a little extra.
Yeah, it did. And so that kind of took it out of me. But then I was also happy that they didn't do one off the top of that platform. Because they did two, and usually the third one is the end of the match. And I don't know how you could do that from up there without both of you dying, but I didn't want them to try it.
I will say the best executed match was the EO Candice match. The most emotional one was the main event.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. How did you feel about Johnny getting disqualified? I understood the point of it, but I didn't like the execution of it.
I wonder, like, why you wait so long? If you're going to do that, why take so much damage in the beginning? Be like Brock. Do like Brock Lesnar did. Do it in the beginning where you got less wear and tear, and then it makes more sense.
Yes, there's that, but then also I was expecting him to just keep beating him. And then as soon as Cole gets up, just put him in the Gargano lock and be done.
I don't know. Johnny Gargano just does, like, he's this babyface that does too much stupid stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. Like,
he does stupid stuff or reckless stuff. And it always bites him behind. I'm like, you worry so much about looking cute, that's why you get called Johnny Failure, because you're always losing.
Ugh, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, oh boy, he's done it again. So, and then you knew they gave him like the big send off afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not guaranteed he's getting called up. It was just Triple H just wanted to do that just because. And I was like, oh, all right, well. I still don't know where he would really fit on the main roster anyways.
SmackDown.
Oh, for sure there, but even then, it's like, you still got Randy's still there, you got all these guys. It's like,
I mean, you can be small, like, but Randy is kind of like the biggest guy that's on there on a regular basis. So you can kind of, you know, or like Big E, so you can kind of do that. I made a joke like, you know, you put certain people, don't, like, if Undisputed Era, you ever put them ring at like Bobby Lashley, don't keep him in the orbit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, Adam Cole, as good as he is, does not need to be on Raw next, like, no Braun Strowman or anybody, or, like, you know, Lashley or Samoa Joe, because then it's like, he about 100 pounds bigger than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I mean, every time we talk, like, that's the bad thing. Every time we talk about Adam Cole, we talk about his size. And I know that it's not a huge factor anymore, but
you put him next to Charlotte. Him next to Charlotte and see how much she tower over. I'm like, yeah. It matters. Like, it doesn't matter like it used to matter. It still matters. Because they, you know, they have, it doesn't matter. It's not just the size, it's the body type. Buddy Murphy's 205. He did not seem out of place fighting Roman Reigns.
I was at a concert and I totally missed it.
That match was awesome.
I've got it on the DVR and that's what I've heard. So
I would just say that match was amazing. I'm like, Buddy Murphy hung. At no time did it look like he was like too small to wrestle Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns is not small.
Yeah, well, yeah, you kind of got that. I mean, I guess he looked a little small in Hobbs and Shaw, but The Rock is just an alien, basically. Mm-hmm. So
you can be small if you got the right body type, but he's small and slender.
And he's slender but jacked at the same time.
Yeah, and it's like, it's kind of like, you can get around it, it's just real difficult. You got to kind of watch you put him in a ring with. But like, overall, like, you know, the three-way was just weird, because it's just three completely different styles of personalities.
Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. I guess, you know, if this was... The last takeover was just on its own, because I know they were doing some finagling because of like the Saudi stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone got caught up with guys getting called up because it was SummerSlam, and not the fact that like, this is just takeover, you know. And if it was like the one before that got moved, I don't think anyone would have been talking about this guy leaving, these guys losing, this and that. I think we're just...
programmed.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say predisposed, but I'm like, that's not the right word. So, yeah, we are programmed, though, to go, all right, these are the big events, so we got to... These guys have... Something has to happen. And not a damn thing happened on Raw after SummerSlam.
Or SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's kind of like you were thinking it would, based on... Because I know people thought maybe Johnny Gargano... Shayna, I'm just wondering who they're going to have beat Shayna Baszler, or is she just going to lead? Because I'm like, the way they set it up, it seemed like it's going to be EO versus Shayna. Like, heel versus heel. And I don't know. As much as dominant as Shayna Baszler is, and as much as she's been, I don't know how they have her fight heel EO and, like, EO just don't run right through her. Because she just rusts. Like, a heel version of her is like, Asuka was kind of like tweener when she was a heel, like a little bit, but she was never like full on heel. Like, she just do some heel stuff here and there. Yeah. Io was doing Spanish flies and just like smiling, like this light work. Like, she just doing move. She was doing like the worst thing is when you like a vicious heel that does cool moves, because like why would you boo her?
That's what I was trying to articulate earlier. Like, yeah, I have literally no reason to boo her. She just got out there and beat her ass. Like, she was cool. Like, Austin, I know that's kind of like our generation's like measuring stick now for like this style, but all she did was go out, beat her ass. You know, she sold, obviously, mm-hmm. and then won. That's it.
Yeah, like she kind of promos basically like, you know, is no living human alive that gets to breathe the same air, gets to stand next to me.
Yeah.
Like, and then she goes out and proves, like, when you're not a heel when you do what you say you do. When you say I'm going to go out and beat your ass and win, and I'm tougher than you, and you prove it, it's like, okay, I'm booing that. Why? Because the music changed? Because it said so? Like, no, I'm sorry, boring Candice LeRae, you Johnny Gargano's wife. Cool. You wrestle fine. It ain't no way in the world people going to cheer her over Io Shirai. Not the NXT crowd, especially not in no damn Canada. Like, no.
I thought the Canadian audience was actually pretty boring for both of them. I mean, they did cheer for Becky over Natalya, and were actually chanting on Raw. I know I was just jumping to Raw, but on Raw, they were chanting, "Thank you, Sasha."
Yeah.
For beating up Natalya. Like, well, wait a minute. This is your country person.
And then beating up Becky. It's like, that's the first, and you know, it's the first time somebody got cheered against Becky Lynch in a long time.
Yeah. But it doesn't always happen, for the most part, that always happens when someone returns.
Not when you a heel, because it's kind of like you would think she beating up a Canadian in Canada, they'd have more, you know, sympathy. But it's like that didn't, like, it's funny. The Canadian stuff worked with Trish Stratus. It did not work with Natalya. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. She just like, one's just a lot more likable than the other.
All right. All of this, and to be dead serious, all of my opinion on Natalya is based off of watching Total Divas, which of course is fake. But she just seems plastic. Like, I, and again, it's like this is a reality show that, you know, whatever. But, like, everyone keeps saying, like, what a great person Natalya is. And I'm like, you sure about that? Because
Gwyneth Paltrow with a suplex?
Yeah, that's what it seems like, right?
Yes. It's always been that way. And I think it's just how they portray, even when she was a babyface, it just came off as just artificial. Like, it did not feel genuine.
Well, aping her uncle's music, his catchphrase, and everything else, like, okay. Like, there's not a whole lot of original to you. I think that's a big problem for her.
Yeah, and it didn't help, like, you know, it's Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
It's like, it is Canada, but it's like, they used to call Toronto Bizarro Land. They just stopped calling Toronto Bizarro Land recently. But they used to call that for a long time with good reason. It's like Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch ain't getting booed just because she in Canada as much as she tried. And it's like, see, the same thing. I don't care if you're in your home country and yada yada yada. We could be all friends, but this a match.
Yeah.
Forget all that friend stuff. I'm gonna rip your damn arm off.
Okay, so we covered NXT for the most part. We started getting into something I wanted to save for a little bit. What did you think of SummerSlam?
I would say it definitely moved by very quickly. I like the pace. Yes. None of the matches were too long. They did what they had to do, and they were out. It wasn't a lot of great matches, but it wasn't a lot of bad matches. It was just... It's funny where I was watching, I'm like, this is okay.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, it's like, it's done. I'm like, oh, that's fine. I've never felt bored. And it was only one match that really bothered me. But other than that, I was like, oh, it's fine. It's pretty good. That's
what
I thought.
Which one didn't you like?
I did not like the ending. I know why the ending of the Kofi Randy Orton match.
Oh yeah, that was bullshit.
Because they keep doing it. They always do that at SummerSlam. They always do some nonsense. Because last year they did some nonsense at SummerSlam like this. Mm-hmm. And then the big one was like Austin Angle when that happened, and it was like a just double disqualification. And I remember the crowd just cracked all over it.
As they should.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, it's like, and then Corey Gray, oh, maybe he found his weakness. He's like, oh, what, Kofi caring about his family is a weakness? Wow. Okay. I guess we found his kryptonite.
But, okay. Yeah. That's not a kryptonite. I mean, okay.
Exactly. Like the whole, it was kind of like the commentary from Corey Graves just irking me because he just irks me so much. Oh, he's doing too much and he need to relax and he should have left his family. Like, shut. Like, Corey Graves talking about the importance of family is ironic coming from Corey Graves. Like, we don't know what happened with him.
Well, that was all turned out to be garbage, too, though.
I mean, but the whole thing is, like, not the breakup. I'm like, yeah, I know. Care about your family until you're ready to get a new family. Like, that's nice. Maybe Kofi want to be a baby face and not do that. But it's like, it's... the whole storyline just irks me because I know what they kind of setting up with. But it's like, every time I see Randy Orton and I see the sit-up near him talking about how he was stupid, yeah, I used my stroke to hold you back and I'll use it again. I know it's storyline stuff. It still just bothers me. Because it's just, I don't know, is it something about Randy Orton just come off like a horror villain? Like, I do, trust me, it is, we know it's not going to happen. There's a lot of dread of the thought of Randy Orton being the one that beats Kofi Kingston for that title.
I can't see that, to be completely honest. And I'm wondering who does beat Kofi, but I don't think it's Randy. Because I don't, every time we talk about Randy Orton, I say the same thing. I don't think he's into this anymore.
Yeah.
And I think he is with Kofi because somebody asked Randy on Twitter about it. And, you know, Randy Orton's Twitter, he doesn't give a shit about what he says on there. And they're like, oh, so what do you think about Kofi winning the title now? Blah, blah, blah. And he goes, great person, great man. I'm happy for him. Like, what?
Yeah, yeah, like they, I doubt, yeah, it's like they, I doubt they got real life issues anymore, but it's kind of like they playing into the stuff that happened and they keep playing into it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you, and it's like, of course, Randy Orton ain't going to win because he's part time, yada, yada, yada. But I'm like, that's never stopped WWE. Like, the jump around, did you think Seth Rollins was going to win?
Yeah, I actually thought he was going to. When I talked to Chris about it, I was like, he has to win. I mean, oh, I'm sorry. Did I think he was going to win? I wasn't sure. Did I think he had to win? Absolutely. Because if not, he looks like a fucking moron.
But that's never stopped him before. Like, I don't want to be that person that's been like, you know, doom and gloom. They always mess up. But I've also learned enough to like know I don't assume nothing when it comes to a lot of matches. Because just because they should do something, I mean they will. It's just kind of like how it goes. But no, I mean, that match, the ending bothered me. But for the most part, it was fine. Like, it's funny, out of the three women's matches, the one that wasn't involved the title was the best one. And I just want to say this right now. People are not giving enough props to Trish Stratus.
No.
She has not wrestled full time for like 13 years, and she hung with Charlotte.
Yeah, and I was, all right, we've kind of romanticized like Trish as a wrestler. And because, I mean, She had good matches with Lita, but who else? Mickie James.
I mean, the whole thing was, it was like she was never a great wrestler. She was a great character. I think people gave her credit because like she started off like being like a fitness model eye candy that got good, and people kind of, and she brought the whole thing like, yeah, I know it ain't the women's revolution. People downplay us and stuff like that because we didn't get a chance. Well, it was like, if it wasn't for people like me, y'all wouldn't be here. And it's kind of like, but it's funny her saying that because it's the era after her that gets, that really gets kind of the shortest stick. Because people feel like it went from Trish Stratus to Lita to Charlotte. And they forget like six years just go out the window. But no, it's like she did the best she could with like her talent level. But it's like Charlotte's like a whole different level, like athletic wise. But that's like, she dominated almost past everybody. And the fact that they was able to have a great match and she didn't feel like she didn't belong, was embarrassed at any age, was amazing. The fact that she's 42 and she hadn't done this in like how long, it's like, yeah, when they, you know how you can't, you still got it, sometimes they don't. Yeah, I was surprised how well she could still, because I was thinking like, she can't hang with Charlotte athletically. Yeah. Like, they just two different, like, you know, skill classes. And she did.
So, okay. And I'm being dead serious. At the time when that match was on, that was the best match of the night so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hands down. And then I thought Lesnar-Rollins took it from them. but you know, it's arguable, which is fine.
Yeah, that's like a top three match, and I don't think people would have guessed that. Like, just because Trish hadn't wrestled in so long.
Yeah, I'd actually put it top two. I'd put it, like, 1-2.
And yeah.
All right. And the reason I said that one is, what did you think of The Fiend?
Man, they found some damn money with that. Did you hear about how they sold the little funhouse? Like,
yeah,
he said something. It sold out in like 3 hours. Now people on eBay, like it was, they sold it for like $30. People go on eBay for like $300. I don't know whose idea it was to come up with this with Bray Wyatt. I have no idea. Whoever it was, pay them.
It almost seems like a Jeremy Borash thing. Knowing how he was involved with the Hardy stuff, going from TNA and then into WWE, it almost seems like a Borash thing. But I know he's in NXT.
Yeah, like it's so, like that business Joseph Park stuff, but better.
Oh yeah, because I remember that. I used to enjoy that.
Because I remember when this stuff started, like the Funhouse stuff. People was like, "Why is Bray Wyatt got a sweater on? Mm-hmm. Pretend to be Mr. Rock. Like, what is this? And he got stuffed animals and stuff." And people was like, "Oh, this is WWE nonsense." And they kept going with it and adding stuff. And then it was like he started talking about like there's some dark side there, and it was like it was a slow burn. And they add stuff here and there. And then the first time you see that mask, Tom Savini is a legend for a reason. Yeah. Like, that mask is, like, nightmare-inducing. Then it's like, he would still go back and forth. Like, the whole promo he's cutting, like, yeah, you know, Finn Balor, you're an excellent man. Like, you know, you're above average like that. But the Fiend's not a man. Like, the Fiend come to get you. Like, you don't know. Like, I know you do this whole song and dance, paint your face. You don't know what you sign up for. And keep in mind, Finn Balor is always the guy, like, I throw my face paint on, I scare other people. He looked like, I'm like, yeah, I should start my vacation a while ago.
Well, alright, do you remember him ever wearing all white? Finn Balor?
Yes. Like, a little bit. Because normally, like, he normally wear colors, like, all solid color. It used to be black, and then he'd do, like, blue for the longest. He's done white once or twice, but it definitely like stood out. Like, I'm like, yeah, is this surrender color? Cause
that's what I was wondering. If like he, well, not surrender. I mean, the joke obviously is there, but then I wonder if he was supposed to be like, you know, white's the good guy, the like angelic, all that sort of stuff. And then you're going against this guy and he got absolutely trounced. I know he had like a few spots, but.
But that was it. It was like Bray's in a lot better shape.
Uh-huh.
He got the remix of the music with the entrance and very that cool mask. Got the mask at front. And I'm like, this whole... You ask who I would think would be Kofi Kingston. I could see Bray Wyatt doing it.
Okay, you've left one part out that I was dumbfounded that he had. The lantern.
Oh.
That was his soul, head.
With the eyes so shut.
I was like, what the fuck is this? And then apparently I've not watched it. If you go watch the replay, it's not in there anymore. I don't know if they digitized it or... But then I saw that on WWE's site, they had a picture of it.
I think they kind of like... I think they know what they have. They're not sure how far they can go. Because it's kind of like... I hear people say they was frightened. Like, if you had a little kid watching that... I ain't have no 9-year-old. No thanks. Like that's a different level of creepiness than they normally do. And it was kind of like, yeah, like this dude was. They made him into a monster. But it's like, you know, the rest of the time he could cut his promos, like, oh, I'm back in my fun house, just having fun. Yeah, and it just works.
Yeah, and he wasn't on Monday or Tuesday, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I guess they're saving him so that his appearances are special. And I'm going, I get that, but he's probably the hottest thing you got going.
Yeah.
And on Monday, okay, because, and yeah, I'm with you. Like, I thought that match was really good. I know it was short and it was one-sided, but that's pretty much what it needed to be. Because if he comes out and gets disqualified or comes out and has like a lackluster thing, I love the fact he didn't hit Sister Abigail and then use the mandible claw. Because that just seems much scarier than using Sister Abigail.
That move always seemed disgusting.
Yes, it's yeah.
Somebody sticking their fingers down your throat, especially after you've been wrestling. Man, you be collar, elbow, tie them. You got all them germs on your damn fingers. Like, I hate it when Mankind did it. I hate it even more now. But no, that match definitely did what it had to do. You know what else match they had to do? And I had a good old time watching it. Goldberg and Dolph Ziggler.
That was fun.
That was so much fun because fuck Dolph Ziggler. I am so sick. People on Twitter trying to tell me how good he's underrated. He doesn't give him a chance. I'm like, give me a damn break. Like, don't sell that shit to somebody who hasn't watched. We've been watching this man for a decade. 8 years ago, he had a title match against Edge. And he's been spinning his wheel ever since.
No, it was Del Rio.
No. You forgot Edge. When he was with Vicky Guerrero, he had a title match against Edge.
I totally forgot about that one.
Yes. Before WrestleMania season. 8 years ago. Way before he beat Del Rio and way before he was with AJ Lee Bailey. Dolph Ziggler been getting chances. We've been seeing Dolph Ziggler over and over and over again. And now this whole, the legend's taking my spot and yada yada. The Miz was like, shut up. If you want to be cheered, do something to get cheered. Stop whining about it. They wouldn't have to bring Goldberg back in 6 months if he was good. Imagine getting talked down to by the Miz and the Miz being right.
I think that's the beauty of them being friends as well. So you can have that stuff go on. Because, that would be pretty fucking rough.
Yeah, and Goldberg came, took two super kicks, kicking out at one.
He kicked out at one on one of them. But then the other one, did he even get the one?
It barely got the one.
Yeah.
Like, it was like at 0.5. It's like, as you should. And then Goldberg just speared the mess out of him. Jackhammer pinned him. Then came back, speared him again. Then came back a third time, picked him up. Then bounced off ropes to get some momentum and speared him. And people said, oh, you keep Dolph Ziggler because he can sell a spear. I'm like, nah, that's not why you keep Dolph Ziggler. Like, I'm glad he sold that spear. But if I never see Dolph Ziggler again, I'll be happy.
Well, then you saw him Monday.
I know.
Yeah. But no, the best part of that Goldberg match is something I didn't see till afterwards. And that was Matt Riddle throwing his sandal at the screen they were watching. And that's when Shayna Baszler started laughing. I'm like, that's hilarious.
He does not like Goldberg at all. At all. And it's probably not this whole Jericho thing where I'm pretending not to like I might not respect him, but the storylines might like him. I don't think Matt Riddle he's like, this guy's a clown.
Yeah. And okay, so one of the things that really makes me laugh about Matt Riddle, which we have to get to the Sasha thing before we move on, the fact he puts that video up and he goes, Chris Jericho, I don't know why you got my name in your mouth, but dude, I'll beat the shit out of you.
and he would.
Yes.
That's the funny
thing. Yes, he definitely would. And I just loved. And then what was the other one? Booker T. I got no problem with you. Because I was actually disappointed that you said something. And then what was the other one? Oh, Lance Storm. I was like, oh, the Lance Storm thing is like whatever. And it made me wonder if this is some sort of angle or whatever for some reason.
Yeah, but it's that's the whole thing. You have no idea because he's like that in real life. And Matt Riddle, if Rob Van Dam really fought in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just funny where it's I'm cool. I'll come out with flip-flops and bare feet, but I can really beat you up in real life.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, man, he's the real deal. Seeing him in NXT, up close and personal, he should be a big star.
He will be. They're taking his time. They said they're not rushing him because they know what they have. They want to take his time. They knew. The fact, people were just surprised, wondering if they won't sign him because the whole, y'all don't like weed heads. He loves weed. They whatever.
Well, apparently they don't even test for it anymore.
I mean, it's 2019. It's kind of who cares? And the whole thing is they know what they have with him. And I just wonder, I hope he don't run the same problem. There's certain people where, and you already know the Street Profits on Raw, they just over-exaggerate the cool stuff about them in NXT. Yeah. to make obnoxious, and I worry about that with him, and especially Velveteen Dream. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm almost afraid of him going to main roster, because I'm like, Heyman wouldn't know what to do with him. Bischoff would a little bit if they let him. It's just like, Kevin Dunn and Vince is like, they just gonna like, let's put lipstick on him.
All right, so take actually, that wouldn't be a bad idea. I know what you're getting at, but if he's gonna be the obnoxious guy, like he Velveteen to me is what you call like subtle obnoxious. Like his screams when he's getting hurt, that's a heel doing that. Like, it's so weird. Him just, you know, like, ah, every
yeah.
time he gets hurt.
I mean,
like,
that's the whole thing. He's a heel that just gets cheered.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, he doesn't do babyface stuff. He just sees that. He comes out, you know, I'm the greatest, thing like that. Come out with his women dancing. Every time he's doing a move, he's showing off. Like, everything about him screams heel. He's just so cool. He gets cheered.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's the only reason. That's the only reason he gets cheered, because he's cool, not because of like what he does. And he has a flashy moveset. But he sounds like a heel, and he like screams out and whines like a heel. Like, baby faces normally don't cry like that. They just make faces. Beside, Ricochet always treat like he dies when he takes stuff.
Speaking of dying, and we'll get Sasha's next. But one, you know how big of a fan I'm of Cedric Alexander already.
Oh Lord!
That was the greatest bump I've ever seen someone take on a Claymore kick.
I actually screamed out and cussed when I saw that.
That's the great. Just, it was so goddamn great. He hit him. I was like, "Oh my god!" Just yelled like.
They had a real good match too, and it's funny where. I mean, not surprised at the fact that they let them have it, because it's like, in a normal situation, they would just have Drew demolish them.
Yeah.
Just because size-wise. It's like, no, they letting them look like as equals. It's like, and that's the thing. Cedric is a lot smaller than Drew, but he looks athletic enough that he can hang with Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
And he has a flashy enough offense where it's like, you can see it working. And it's amazing how, like, Cedric Alexander is likable.
Yes. Absolutely.
He just is. And he's not, like, scuzzy like Rich Swann was. I mean, even before the stuff came out, it was like, even Rich Swann was in it, I'm like, it's just something about him. Like, they just found him in an alley. Like, I know he's a baby face, but it's just like this whole, I don't know. Like, when stuff came out, were you that surprised?
No.
It's unfortunate, but it's like, yeah, you don't want to see that, but it's like, yeah, I can kind of see that.
I try not to be this way in my life, all right? And I try not to look at somebody and go, oh, boy. But sometimes, well, it kind of fits the bill, so.
I mean, certain people, like, you look at certain people, like, you want to avoid stereotypes, but you look at certain people, like, you see Lars Sullivan, and then you hear about, I'm like, oh, well, of course, look at him. Like, you're not supposed to do that, but you look at certain people, it's like, oh, of course they like that. It's all over his face. And, like, Rich Swann just came off as, like, you know, I'm adopted. Like, I just got that edge of, like, he just had, like, that edge. Like, Cedric Alexander's, you know, and you hate to say, like, clean cut, yada, yada. But, like, Cedric Alexander's, like, I can wrestle. I'm likable.
Yes.
And I'm not a chump, but I'm like, people like me. Like, Ali's the same thing. I wrestle. I'm likable. I'm not a chump. Some people just have that, you know, like Drew McIntyre is like a bully. Like, he's got that Sheamus vibe about him.
He really does. And that's why I was glad McIntyre won. And now I want them to do something with Cedric. You know, let us know something about him. That would be nice. I mean, we don't know anything about him. I was talking about this with Chris. Is he comes out and loses with, I mean, he comes out to help Roman and loses.
And then he'll get like a fluke win. And then he'll get a fluke win. It's like, you know, it's like they expect you to know him from NXT. It's like, I mean, from 205 Live. It's like, not really, because you barely give him, like, okay, you give him time on the pre-show, and that's it. If you don't watch 205 Live, the only thing you know about Cedric Alexander, like, he lost to Buddy Murphy. And he lost, like, Mustafa Ali. And that's it. Like, he's the guy, he's the black guy that loses, and the one that's not Lio Rush.
Who, is he still with WWE?
Yes, he still is. I think they're going to put him back on either 205 Live or NXT when he just stops running his mouth and keep putting his foot in his mouth. Oh, we talked about SummerSlam. We forgot the whole – we talked about a little bit. I was laughing at that Brock Lesnar-Seth Rollins match because it was just all finishing moves.
Yes, and I maybe that's just how Brock wants to do his matches now, but he can still – he can go. I mean, I don't – I'm – I guess I'm a little confused on how his, why his matches are the way they are, but hey, whatever.
I mean, I think he gives, I think it's based on the more he respects you, the longer his matches are.
Yeah, and you can tell. I mean,
yeah, like because it's like he was giving Seth a lot of like he took a frog, he took that splash onto the table. I'm like, Brock kind of old to still be doing that stuff. Like,
yeah.
And he still does like you know. I was surprised Seth won just because I was like, they just put the belt on Brock and it's Brock. And I know it's like Seth's there and it's like that. But and I guess part of me says he should be champion. But I was definitely expecting him to lose.
Yeah. Like I said, I wasn't sure if he would win, but God damn it, he had to win. I mean.
Who's Seth going to fight now? I think they're setting up him to fight Braun.
Yeah, that should be good. They finally give Braun, you know, something to do. So
okay, here's my thing with that. How does Braun not win and not look bad? That's always the problem they run into. Like, Braun is just too damn dominant, and he's always there. It's like, it's the reason Andre the Giant wasn't champion. It's like, you don't need it. And it's like, who's going to beat him?
Yeah.
Like who's gonna beat like what Braun gonna get rolled up in a small package? He gonna slip on a banana peel? Like normally he lose matches, he get hit with like five different finishers from five different people before they pin him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and like Brock's the only one that really beat him. So, like legit beat him because even Roman. Mm-hmm. Their matches never like, ended clean, did they?
Yeah, it's like Roman when they had like an ambulance match or something like that, like some stipulation match. But no, it was kind of like it was like even where when Braun won, he would just win. When Roman won, Roman had help, but like Braun like messed up or something.
Yeah, or it was mostly a gimmick, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember right,
a stretcher match, an ambulance match, like yeah. Stuff like that. So, I mean, because they said they don't really have. That's the thing you know, it's on Raw, and it's funny. Like it sunk in. They got a lot of people, but it seemed like they don't use most of them.
No, that's
like they using the same people. Like I'm seeing the same people on Raw and SmackDown. Every week now. And it's like, it seemed like they're using like,
yeah,
like
I
forgot all about Bobby Roode. So I saw him on Raw. I'm like, oh, he's still there?
He was only on because he's from Toronto.
Yeah. But I was like, I forgot. And they had the King of the Ring tournament. And it's like, oh yeah, Shelton's still there. His new gimmick is he don't talk.
Which makes, I was going to say it makes no sense. Whatever.
Uh-huh.
We all know it doesn't. So they've always treated Shelton like he doesn't have a personality. And then you see him on something like Up, Up, Down, Down. He's got a clear personality to him. It's like, what are we doing?
Same thing with Cesaro.
Yes, that too.
Basically. And it's that whole, it's that if you different, they don't know how to market you. Like, if you black and you not the street profits, if you black, you not hood, they don't know what to do with you. Like, you basically got to be, like, you know, The Rock to overcome that. Because, like, same thing Bobby Lashley. How TNA use him better than you, and you had him first.
Yeah. I mean, that was a huge disappointment because I think every single one of us expected Lashley to come in as this straight killer. And he's sitting there posing. Like,
uh-huh. Or first he's like, I was raised by my sisters.
Oh my God! Yeah,
I love my sisters, and my sisters love me. What? Like, stop giving up. I know y'all think black people. You know, black people don't have daddies, and there's your mom and sister raising. Why don't this? No, have Bobby Lashley be a cocky killer. Have him be Black Brock Lesnar, like you used to call him, and just do that. Keep it moving. Like, nah, we gotta have an obstacle course, and then he becomes a heel. Bobby, show him your ass. What? No, I do not want to see him flexing. Show him your best part. He bending over. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, and you know who that's coming from, too.
Uh-huh. Yes, that old-ass man.
But yeah, so, but last wrestling thing, we got to talk about the other thing still before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. So Sasha Banks finally came back, and I, for one, was surprised. The rumor was that she was always coming back after SummerSlam, but...
They've been saying she's always come back for, like, the last 2 months.
Yeah, and she comes out with brown... Was it brown hair?
Or no, it was purple hair, purple wig. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, black women knew from Jump Street. Other people wasn't sure. It's like, yeah, that wig looks suspect.
Yeah, it didn't look real. I mean, I know she's been gone a long time, but then she was also on her Twitter or Instagram or something with brown hair, like 2 days before.
Uh-huh. And she had put it blonde, and I was wondering what happened. And Rich told me, because his mom's a cosmetologist, she said, when you have blonde hair and then you dye a stronger color, it enhances the color. Because that blue almost blew out my eyes on my TV. That was some bright-ass blue.
Yeah, and I was like, she's clearly going to beat up Natty. Like, why else would she come out? They have no history together.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like gives her a hug. And when she goes to the microphone, I'm like, here it comes. Bang. And I'm like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
And what a... I know, and it's obviously the story, but it's like, what a bitch. You want her beating up a one-armed woman?
After she talking about, you know, how she did this for her dad.
Yeah.
They really don't like the hearts. I swear. It's like, you know, yeah, I lost. I tapped out, but I'm going to still keep my head up high because my daddy want me to. It's Sasha Banks and then Corey Graves. Good. It's like when Bobby Heenan was right about Hulk Hogan.
That's exactly what I was
saying. So I'm like, it's just so, because I don't know if it's real life or just that's just been a gimmick. He's always talked about something like, Sasha is selfish. I'm the only person that sees it. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, fine. On and on. And then for him to be right, it was just like, shut up. Oh, we're all shocked to see it. I wasn't shocked. I knew that bitch was like there from Jump Street.
Yeah. And I see, I know you didn't like that. I did. Because I loved when Bobby Heenan got to like go off on Hulk Hogan finally.
But,
you know,
Bobby Heenan was funny. Corey Graves is obnoxious. Like, I hear him on Raw doing that and basically berating Renee Young, and I hear him on SmackDown doing that, berating, what's his face? Byron.
Byron did you catch it this week, though? Like, Corey admitted they were friends? It was very subtle. And he goes, Byron, as my friend, I have to tell you. He's like, as a good friend, I have to tell you, blah, blah, blah. And then Saxon just goes, wait, so you admit we're friends? And Corey said nothing. Like, fuck, I just messed up the gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah. I get it. I don't feel that way about Corey. I think he is over the top. But at the same time, I don't. It's at the expense of, like, making sure that people get into the character season.
I get why he's doing it. I laugh when he, like, you know, salivates over Mandy Rose.
Okay, what did he say about her? Because he mentioned on, was it Raw? It had to be Raw, that he went a little too far in talking about her.
I'm not sure because he just says so much. Like, he sounded like a damn stalker.
Okay.
So I missed it, but it's kind of like, it's just, and it's just funny he's doing that while dating Carmella. And I know it's like part of the storyline. It's like, you know, he just goes over like God's greatest creation. I wish it was in slower motion so we could just. It's just like, it's not icky. It's just so much like Charlie Brown found a blanket. Like, yeah. I just love this blanket. Like, yeah, no wonder people like blankets. I like this blanket right here. It's just, and it's just over the top. No. So she's beating up Natty, and they're chanting, like, thank you, Sasha. It's got to suck if you, Natty. And then Becky Lynch comes out, and then they fight, and then she beats the crap out of Becky Lynch. And it's funny. People are blaming Sasha for, you know, Becky getting hit the chair like that. That was Becky's fault. Stop moving, dummy. Wait, stop moving.
I didn't see any of this. What are people complaining about?
Yes, when Sasha was hitting Becky with the chair the second time, she, like, clipped Becky in the back of her head. And everybody was getting mad, talking about Sasha sloppy as usual, hurting people. And Becky's like, yeah, I won't get receipts from that. Sasha was swinging at the same spot each time. Becky kept moving her head around. Like, stop moving, you fool. Like, what you doing? Like, that was Becky's fault.
Yeah, I mean,
and everybody blames Sasha for it because, like,
it's easy. Like, that happens, so big deal.
Yeah, it's because one, people love disliking Sasha Banks, and two, Sasha has that Seth Rollins like reputation for hurting people when you're not supposed to.
No, I honestly did not know that she had that reputation. Mm-hmm. I always thought Sasha, like, I know about sloppy, but not hurting people.
Yeah, they say hurting people by being sloppy. Like, Seth is more just hurting people by being, like, irresponsible. Like, he's that whole buckle bomb stuff and everything. Like, for her, like, yeah, I never hurt nobody in my life. You retired two people. You almost killed Sting. Well. That was a thing. Because, you know, Finn Balor got hurt. Sting got hurt. It was somebody, I think it was, like, two or three people got hurt. That was the whole Seth hurts people type thing. So, no. And then they doing that. She was beating up while cussing at her. They bleeped out one or two of them, matter of fact.
There was a couple times over the weekend that they were bleeping people out. So, it's like, all right, well.
Oh, yeah, they bleeped out Kofi when he told Randy to get his bitch ass up.
Is that what he said?
Yes, that's what he said.
Nothing. What are you doing?
But it's kind of like you're not expecting, you know, Black Ricky Steamboat, the African hero, to like say that. Kofi's like, I'm the family man, I'm tough and I'm smiling, not I'm cussing you out. Because, like, you forget the New Day used to be vicious when they were heels. You're not used to Kofi ever having that mean streak. But okay. it's somehow Randy Orton to just bring it out of Kofi, though.
Somebody posted a video online, and I forgot about this. It was when New Day was just in like that in-between. And Michael Cole was interviewing him, and Xavier started, like, grinding, and then Kofi was twerking in front of Michael Cole. And Big E was in the middle of going, look at it, Michael, look at it. And I was like, I kind of remember this, but it was hilarious. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so. Like, the New Day, when they first embraced being heels, were just, because they made people uncomfortable. Because they did a lot of overly sexual stuff that kind of, like, rub people the wrong way, because, like, especially, like, Big E sticking his tongue out and grinding, like, I don't know if I want to see this, but then they beat people up with chairs when they got mad. Like, they were, when they got, they do the jokes and everything like that, but when they want to be vicious, they were real vicious. And it was like that whole thing, like, the Freebirds. Like, I can be cool and I can crack jokes, but I can hurt you too. And you weren't used to seeing, like, that. And the New Day got over, like, being like this whole, we are obnoxious heels that can also beat you. Like, you see him, Kofi the smallest one of the three. Like, Xavier is not a small man, and Big E's a damn monster.
Yeah, the unfortunate part for Xavier is he's just the shortest one.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes him look smaller, but then you see him, like, sitting next to Tyler Breeze on, like, the GM mode and all that stuff, and you're like, oh yeah, they're he's not a small man. So
yeah, but no, it's like she back to, you know, Sasha, she laid out Becky Lynch, and people are happy because, like, Sasha Banks gets to do what she does best, be a heel. And unlike last time when she tried to be a heel and they wouldn't let her because the fans kept cheering for her, this time, you know what, I figured she was coming back when Becky started talking online. When she's doing interviews online and start talking trash about Sasha Banks, oh, you lost your belt and use wine and you want to change your hair color and go to Japan, learn a drop kick. Real, like, real women, you know, I ain't going nowhere. I'm tough. All this, like, you know, you took your ball, run home stuff. And I was like, she didn't just say that just to say that.
Yeah. People get wrapped up in, like, wrestler Twitter. And it's like, remember, the whole business is supposed to be a work. So, you know, yeah. some people is clearly not.
Uh-huh. Some people's like, yeah, this ain't the script. I'm going to beat you up. Well, yeah. You know, it's real life. So, or like, you know, some people like Jim Cornette, they just want to stay mad because it ain't 1984 anymore. So,
you know, the bad thing about Cornette is that he has some good points.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like wrapping him up in a razor blade and serving it with barbed wire. Like, can you just, like, be cool and try to talk instead of just going nuts all the time.
Yeah. Before we move on from my biggest thing, before we move on, is this: it's that whole era. They want. I get what they're saying. Talking about, you know, wrestling has a set of rules like that. I've always had an issue with that because too many times back in the day, pro wrestling treat like the whole thing is we treat our fans like you know, we respect the fans, but we treat them like idiots. Like this, so like the cat's out the bag. I'm sorry, it's 2019. They got mad at Jordynne Grace because she used her real name. It was like, we know some people have pseudonyms. Like, you on Twitter, you can't complain about inside stuff if you inside the house. Like, that's not how it works. Like, it's not 1983. It's not the 70s. It's not even the 80s anymore. Like, I'm watching pro wrestling. Look, the first time I see an Irish whip, I'm either accepting it or I'm denying it. If I accept it, let me accept it. Don't try to treat me anymore like a dummy. Like, I always feel stupid enough sometimes. Stop trying to get over on me.
Okay, I don't want to get into this, but he was mad at her for changing her name?
No, he was mad at her for her using her real name on Twitter. And she explained, like, you know, I play a character, but in real life, this is who I am.
Yeah.
I respect people to differentiate between the two. And matter of fact, Xavier Woods jumped in. He's like, you know, I use Xavier Woods in wrestling, but if I ever leave WWE, they keep that name. That's why I use Austin Creed on Up, Up, Down, Down, because that's me. And I get to have a following, and people can follow me if I ever leave. And it's like, yeah, that's like, maybe some people don't want to have to change their name in real life to get around that, like Steve Austin did.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Okay, whatever.
And Cornette and like other, the old heads, like, oh, this ruined kayfabe, and all this because Jim Cornette jumped in and Lance Storm jumped in. All these people commenting. It's like, come on now. Like, we know the deal. Like, that's why I don't get over indie wrestling. It's too many times. If I see somebody do a Canadian straw off a ladder through a burning table and only get a two count, and then they win with a clothesline, like, come on. Like, I already feel a certain way. I'm 40 years old watching this. Don't make me feel dumb. Like, don't. And then try to do that and then say that's the old way. Like, just. Because I leave a question like, how come you hit somebody with a dropkick, it doesn't hurt, but if you miss one, it does?
Yeah. Well, because when you hit someone with a dropkick, you land on your back. And when you miss it, you land on your front. There,
yeah,
you go.
Talk about this. Yeah.
Anyways. All right. So, enough wrestling talk for this show. I finally got around last week to seeing Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I know you saw it before me, and I told you not to tell me anything about it. So, I liked it quite a bit, actually. Although, at the end, I've never left a movie. I've never left a movie. Knowing who the director was, I was really uncomfortable at the end. When they were walking down the street with knives and all this stuff, I'm going, I know how this story ends. And I don't know why. I mean, I've seen Saw, I've seen Hostel, Green Inferno, all that stuff. So, like, I knew, like, the gore, whatever, that might come. I don't know. I just didn't like the idea of using, like, you know, that real-life stuff like that. And then I went, it's Tarantino. Nothing's going to... Like, I was guessing Leonardo was going to save the day, to be honest. But... Spoilers, gang. Spoilers. Because... So... But no, so what'd you think? Because you were the one that told me that the second half of the movie was weird.
Okay, I will say this. I'll talk about the things I liked first. I will say Quentin Tarantino was very thorough with his research and captured a specific time in American Hollywood, like, as he always is. I thought Leonardo and Brad Pitt were masterclass as far as acting.
Yeah.
Like they were. Because it's like, this is basically like a actor movie. And it's like, Leonardo was awesome just being like, you know, this, I know I'm over the hill, but I still got it here and there trying to, like, encompass all of that and like show what I used to be able to do, knowing I can't do anymore, still trying to do it. Like that whole angst there, like Leon Furf, like Brad Pitt just makes the coolest man alive.
Yeah.
And this whole, like, you know, and it's kind of like, I'll get to his character with the part that, but I'm like, that part was fine. The whole thing at the ranch when they went to Bruce Dern's house, like that felt like a horror movie. Like, yeah. I'm expecting somebody to get murdered because it's Because it was just so foreboding, like the way they set up pace and everything. Like you just wait for something bad, something real bad to happen, and it's you think it's gonna happen, and it might happen, and then it doesn't. And it's like, oh,
yeah. When Gary was just in there,
yeah. And then like, when he leaves, and then it's like, you know, getting the fight with the dude with the horse comes back and all this, and he just, you know, beats up the other guy, and then. Like, and then the cute stuff when he was in Italy with the child actors. Normally, child actors get on my nerves, but she didn't. Even though it's like, you normally don't meet, which is going to be like 9 or 10, talking like she's 40.
Okay, I was confused by this. He wasn't in Italy. Because remember, Brad Pitt was driving him around.
No, they went over there.
He went over there, yes. But that whole scene, all of that took place in L.A., that's why he was able to go to that ranch.
Okay. I thought he already left.
I was a little confused on that one. And then they said, well, then he went to do that. I was like, oh.
Yeah, right. And came back with his wife. So that part, you know, so it's like the stuff that was good was real good. I have three problems with the movie. One, if you're not a fan of nostalgia in Hollywood, this movie's boring.
Yeah.
Like, basically, and my wife was like, she was not a fan. Two, well, actually four parts. Two, the Brad Pitt character is like, yeah, he cool and everything, and he later, so I'm like, they kind of play for a joke, like, he killed his wife and got away with it, and it's kind of like lit that happened. That's why certain people don't like him. It's like, oh, well, don't worry about that.
I was confused if that was like the urban legend and that it was left open.
I mean, but it's kind of led to, like, enough to, like, it like the way you explain, like, it kind of happened. Like, people think it happened, and other people just kind of cool with it. And this whole, it's kind of like they made you root for a guy that you shouldn't be rooting for. Because it's like, you know, he cool. He got, like, morals because he won't have sex with that young girl with the dirty feet. And Quentin Tarantino, his foot fetish got to go.
He loves women's feet. Yeah.
I know. And I'm like, got them yellow soles on it. Like, ugh. And it's like, yeah, I ain't been to jail and I ain't going down. Like, you didn't show my ID, no thanks. So all that stuff. So the violence at the end.
Oh, boy. That was quite the surprise.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, Quentin Tarantino likes, you know, we've seen Django and we've seen Inglourious Basterds. It's just something weird seeing with real people because it was way over the top. Like, I felt a certain way seeing when he was bashing that girl head, you know, over and over, like the wall and like the different stuff. Like the dog stuff is just ruthless as it is. And it's just like, is this necessary? Like, because I felt the same way you felt, like it's different when you do like real life people and you like, you know, and then when Leonardo got the flamethrower, I was like,
all right.
Of course, like it made sense. He talked about it like that. And then he was like, oh. When you talk about the end, like, yeah, I still had it in the garage. Busted out, flambéed her. And it was like, I mean, these people were bad people.
Yes.
So,
but it's just a Tarantino movie. Everyone's bad. So,
yeah.
And to really prove the point on how bad Leonardo DiCaprio was as a person, all of that just happened. Okay. All that goes on. And then he goes to have a drink at Sharon Tate's while his new wife, who just got attacked, is passed out on Valium or whatever else, and he's like, oh, I can go advance my career. And that's the happy ending. Mm-hmm. Like, wait. Shouldn't you be going back to make sure everything's cool?
Yeah, and I was waiting. And the whole thing is like, you know what happened in the end. I'm like, okay, you keep waiting for that other shoe to drop, and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised about the ending. My biggest thing was the Bruce Lee stuff.
See, I thought that was fun. I know everyone's making a big deal out of it.
No, it took... I'm sorry. It took me out the movie. Because it's kind of like... I know what he was trying to... He's trying to establish how badass Brad Pitt was. He made Bruce Lee... I'm sorry. Bruce Lee's a real-life person. Bruce Lee probably one of the coolest men who ever lived. And you made him like a damn joke. I'm just watching this. And I was watching... Like, I know what he's trying to do. And I didn't want to get mad, and it's like that. It's like, you know, it's the big deal. But I'm watching my wife. She's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm just like, this is bullshit. Like, this is just movie, you know. Because, one, he doing the whole thing, like, you know, I could knock out Muhammad Ali and anything like that. And he, like, they had Bruce Lee be all pompous and stuff like that. And he's like, you need to show respect to the world champ and everything. And then they have a fight, and it's like, okay, it was kind of even because the dude was in the army. I'm like, it's Bruce Lee. I'm sorry. Like, if it was some regular martial arts dude, that's fine. But it's like, it's Bruce Lee. We know what Bruce Lee can do. We know Bruce Lee didn't actually think that. That's why his daughter came. I was like, I know
he said all of that stuff.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did. No. It's documented. He said this.
No, he. Yes. No, it wasn't. Because his daughter came out like, talking about, he looked about, you know, talking about if he could fight Muhammad Ali, if like that. They was like, you think he'd be like, no. Look at his fist. Look at my fist. There's no way in the world I'm beating Muhammad Ali. His daughter, that's his daughter came out saying, like, you took a vision of.
Of course his daughter's going to stick up for him because he's oversensitive. All right, so we're.
Wait, why would I think my whole thing like this? I would watch that movie and think I'm supposed to, like, think Bruce Lee's cool or, like, Bruce Lee's just a jackass.
To me, it was like, okay, and they never finished the fight to begin with. So you don't know. Like, that's the whole thing. And the thing is, he goes, all right, do it again. And Bruce Lee, like, the guy playing Bruce Lee, did not expect, during a playful fight, he doesn't expect him to be doing this stuff.
Jeremy.
And that's why. That's the motivation.
Hold up, time out. Substitute, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Substitute, let's say it's like 1988, and substitute Bruce Lee for Mike Tyson. Now think about how that scene looks, and that same thing happens. Are you believing that?
In the context of the movie, yeah.
Why?
Because, all right, the whole setup is he's going to kick him, and he goes, all right, you got me. That was good. Now do it again. And he says, do the same thing again. So he knows what's coming.
My whole thing is like this. It's Bruce Lee. The man who basically more or less invented MMA, that Bruce Lee is like, I'm going to do the same stupid stuff I can do. You think, okay.
Because, again, he's not expecting this lowly stuntman guy to actually, like, try and get into a fight with him. He's like, all right, he's just showing off, so I'll just do it again and be done.
But you're treating Bruce Lee like he's, like, some thug that Steven Seagal would fight.
I'm treating Bruce Lee like a character in the movie, not the real one.
But that's the whole point. That's the problem with the movie. That's the whole thing, the slippery slope with Quentin Tarantino stuff. It's like, you using real-life people in real-life situations and then throwing some remix history in there.
Yeah, and, like, when Hitler dies at the end of Glorious Bastards.
And people, trust me.
No one had a problem with that. It was like, wait, what?
Oh, yes the hell they did.
Then who watches these movies then?
No, like, no. Here's the thing, and it goes into my issue with Quentin Tarantino fans. It's a lot of people who treat this like it's real life history because they don't know any better.
That's their fucking fault.
But
if you actually watched *Inglourious Basterds* and went, "Oh, Hitler died in the," you're a fucking moron.
It's not that. No, it's that. It's not the people. No, that one they knew. That was like you basically like making fun of like World War II in a way that's like, and you're not treating like a satire, like a comedy. It's different. Like if it's a Mel Brooks, it's funny. It's different if it's like a Mel Brooks movie. You can't do that serious stuff and then throw some Looney Tunes thing in there and say, "Oh, you know, like." Because he's so meticulous, like, yo, I'm going to play the music they was playing in 1967. We're going to have the exact same hammer. We're going to get everything as realistic as possible. The type of film they use, anything like that. You know, we're going to really have Steve McQueen talk about this, all that. And then it's like, okay, well, we're going to throw this remix in here and make Bruce Lee like a clown. Like,
see, I don't think he came off as a clown at all.
I looked at it like, this is nonsense. Like, and they only did that, and the only reason they did that is to show that, you know, Brad Pitt was badass. And I know why they did it.
I didn't think he looked like a clown at all.
He out there, they made him, like, spewing, like, you know, nickel and dime gibberish. Like, you know, my hands are red, it says lethal weapons. If I hit you, it's manslaughter. The guy's like, you know, if anybody asks him to kill somebody, it's manslaughter. Like, they basically made, like, Bruce Lee, like, he a preening idiot. Like, I've seen enough movies and documentary about Bruce Lee to know that's nonsense. And I know it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's even Steven, anything like that. Ain't gonna be no even Steven. Like, no. Like, it's, my problem is, and that was my main thing, and not only, like, I got back in the movie, and that was fine. I was very excited, like, okay, it's nonsense, but whatever, he's trying to prove a point. It's Quentin Tarantino fans, is it so? Because they just so, you don't understand his vision. You don't know how a movie works. Like, if you don't, it's almost like wrestling fans sometimes, like Japanese wrestling fans. Quentin Tarantino fans are some of the most obnoxious people you'll ever meet in your life, because they are like, bro, you know, if you understand the nuance of movies, you know what he was doing. It ain't my fault, you dumb. It's like, shut up.
Yeah, but again, we've had this discussion before. If somebody sees a movie and goes, "Oh, that's how it was," that's your fault. You got to be smarter than that now.
Well, if he's presenting himself like this is kind of how it was, it's different when they kind of feed into it. Like, you know, it's different. It's not like it's like a satire thing, like it's Blazing Saddles or it's like Unforgiven. You always fall. It always happens, and it's always a mistake to happen when you have using real life people and like real life things, because then it's kind of like it's a biography, it's an alternative history, and you try to have it both ways. Like, I won't be authentic except for when I'm not. And it's like when you do stuff like that, you leave yourself out there. Django Unchained, slavery bad enough as it is, and now you got slaves fighting, and now you got people thinking that's how they do. Like, yeah, you do stuff like that, you get to get called out on stuff. It's not like this is Earth 2 or Earth X. You know, it's like this a story in Hollywood using these fake people in this drama. Sharon Tate, Margaret Wright was barely in the movie.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, you know, they made this big deal about her being in here. And I'm like, you know, is she going to do anything? Like, when she was in there, it was fine. Like, this ain't even really about her. Like, you know, but you got real life people in real life movies doing real life things during this time frame in history. And then you just want to, you know, throw your little Tarantino thing in here. And, like, the ending is, like, it's fine. Oof. Maybe you want to do a story like, you know, I don't want Sharon Tate to die in my story. Cool. I mean, we know how it really happened, but it's like, I don't blame that stuff. But, no, I'm...
No, see,
he's going to be on different sides of the page with that.
Yeah, so I had no problem with it. Like, honestly, like, the Bruce Lee thing, he's not around to defend himself, obviously. And then the Sharon Tate thing, he's not, and Polanski will never say anything about it. But
I know he blamed Bruce Lee in the beginning.
Wait, Polanski?
In real life?
Why?
Yes. Because he thought he was mad. He was like, you know, Bruce Lee said he had like a knife and lost it. And like, she got taken. Yeah, when they first came out, he blamed Bruce Lee. When it first happened. Yeah.
Well, consider the source.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's...
No, but fuck that guy. So
it's not. You know why it's such a big thing? It's kind of like, it's like, if you know, if it's such a character that everybody knows, you don't gotta fake stuff. It's like if somebody fakes stuff about Muhammad Ali, like, oh, you know, Muhammad Ali really couldn't read in real life, and he couldn't really fight. He just faked it. Like, it's not some no name dude, or like even like somebody like, you know, Larry Holmes.
Well, all right, wait. So we focused, we got not off track, but we focused way too much on the negative part. All right, one, how did you feel? I can't remember the name of the movie Sharon Tate was in. And she was, like, it was Margot Robbie watching actual Sharon Tate on screen.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about that? I thought it was kind of strange.
It's this, you know, weird. Like, I get what he was trying to do is, like, you know, you're a movie star, you get to see yourself being famous around people and they didn't really know. And it's kind of like, you know, they didn't know who she really was. Like,
I'm sorry. I didn't make myself clear on that one. How did you feel about them using the actual movie?
I mean,
filming it over again with Margot Robbie and other actors?
He likes to be authentic.
That's so weird.
I mean, Quentin Tarantino is... I wasn't that surprised that's how he's like, you know... Why fake it if you can do it for real?
Yeah.
It's always been a Quentin thing. But it's like, it's just, I think I'm at the point in my life where it's something just off. Like, I respect how much work he puts in the movie. He's definitely very good at, like, it's not just as though he just remake it, bites off. So, like, if it was that easy, anybody could do it.
Yeah.
And the fact that most people can't do a show is not that easy. Like, he's very talented. He knows his stuff. It's just certain things he does that just, at this point in my life, just rubs me the wrong way. Like, it's a lot of good things I liked about the movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, I told you about my whole thing. I told you why I'm not a fan of nostalgia. Because then when you black, looking back is never good. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, back in the day was good. I'm like, No, like it don't work like that for us because it usually was worse off. And it's all like, you know, I like back when things. I will say this, and this line you can't use more. You remember when he was crying in the parking lot when he was getting his car, and Brad Pitt was like, "Don't cry in front of the Mexican."
Yeah,
I did get a. I know I wasn't supposed to laugh at that.
Yeah. I think you were supposed to. That was a joke. You were supposed to laugh at that.
No, I'm like, kind of like, you know, this is something like now. You're not supposed to laugh. You know, it's supposed to be a joke, but me and my wife definitely laughed. We're like, this is so absurd. Because he just said it so, like, relaxed, like, you know, calm down, you know, don't laugh in front of the Mexican.
Yeah. All right, so one thing I liked a lot about it is the movie was a Western. I mean, he's filming Westerns, doing all this, and it was set up. So you've got, like, you got your small conflict there with, you know, Bruce Lee, whatever. Then you've got, the burgeoning of the cowboy, like getting back into it when he went to go see Gary. And then you had the obvious, the gunfight at the end when you knew Brandy, that was the dog, everybody. You knew Brandy was eventually going to bite somebody. And I did not expect that. And also I was like, what kind of acid is he on that he was able to like fight still? Cause I'm guessing that the adrenaline.
Well, I mean, any man that can hold his own against Bruce Lee can handle a little acid.
Yeah,
I did like the part they show how, because it's like a simple thing. When he got on the roof, jumped on the fence, jumped on the wall, got on the roof, 3 steps.
Oh, and my God, he's up there with his shirt off, and there's a. Oh, I'm looking like, really? Like, just calm down.
He looked better
in Fight Club, for Christ's sake.
Well, I'm saying it's like Fight Club. Fight Club that looked on age. That Frosted Tips, they looked on age well. Like Brad Pitt is definitely like aging very well.
Those abs aged fairly well.
Yeah. And Leonardo DiCaprio is like finally starting to look his age. Like around the eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and it's...
All right, I mean, told Elise this too. So, Thelma and Louise in Growing Pains. You gonna tell me those guys, that kid and that guy, that younger guy, were gonna be two of the biggest stars in the world?
I mean,
what?
Imagine watching The Facts of Life and seeing George Clooney thinking, like, oh, that guy.
Exactly. He bounced around from, what? He had, what, 13 different series before ER caught on? And then, it took a Soderbergh movie for him to get, like, any sort of credibility.
Here's the thing when it comes to stars, I guess we wrap it up, and what Tarantino learned. And it's funny how Tarantino used to take people that are like out on their luck and like make comebacks, and it wasn't until Inglourious Basterds when he did with Brad Pitt. It's like, wonder how my movies look if I use movie stars. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of like.
Because Bruce Willis was not Bruce Willis.
He wasn't that. He was in Pulp Fiction. Yeah, and John Travolta was definitely not, Travolta. Like, you know, so. And, like, you know, Pam Grier, no one has seen her for the longest, or Mark, you know. It's like, it wasn't until Inglourious Basterds was like, let's use stuff. Because Uma Thurman wasn't no big deal when Kill Bill came out. And she hadn't been a big deal since Kill Bill came out. So, yeah. But, no, it's like, the hardest thing with stars is, like, how to use them. Like, Brad Pitt thing, we always made the joke, he's a character actor that looks like a movie star. Yeah. Like, he's a weirdo that looks like a movie star. It's kind of like David Fincher. Realize that. Steven Soderbergh realized that. Tarantino, like, you know, let's take this guy, this handsome matinee model, and have him do weird stuff. DiCaprio is like this whole boyish face that's like a maniac. Like, he wants to be, you know, he'll do whatever it takes to, like, it's kind of like a dramatic version of Tom Cruise, where it's like, you want me to sleep in a bear? I'll sleep in a bear. You want me to do, like, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be this role, to have you believe that I'm doing it. Like, I will embrace it as much as I can. Because it's like easy. Now, you see a pretty face, and you like, and you can tell who's had it. Like, Idris Elba, people don't know how to use him. John Hamm, people don't know how to use him. It's like, you know, what's the joke? John Hamm like the astronaut. His best movies when he get to be the scuzzy or be a weirdo.
Yeah. That's most of the actors, too. So.
Idris Elba's like his best roles when he gets to be Idris Elba's a sex symbol that's a nerd. Basically, he's a big old nerd that's like looks the way he looks, so you never have him play that one. When he gets to play goofy stuff, like off the wall stuff, it's like, yeah, but it's kind of like you have to find You have to know how to like find what works, and Tarantino knows how to find the people that works. Because it's kind of like I was listening to a podcast that's about Glorious Bastard with Christoph Waltz. You know how lucky they had to be to find him? Somebody that can act the way he act in three different languages.
Yeah. And
like, how many people are like that? Like, I need a classic act. I need a character actor that can hang with Brad Pitt, and he has to be fluid and be able to act in English, French, German, and so know some Italian.
To me, that's like the genius of Tarantino, though. He can find those guys. Like, because he's always been with a finger on the pulse. Is that how you want to describe it? He's always had that ability. So yeah.
Him and Nolan.
Yeah. And I'm telling you what, to wrap up, we got to go. The rest of this fall coming up, there looks to be some solid-ass stuff coming out based on the previews they showed before this. The one with the astronaut, where Brad Pitt's the astronaut.
Ad Astra with Tommy Lee Jones.
Who I thought retired. I guess not. If he's in the movie, we don't know. And then there were some other ones. I'm looking at this like, well, I thought it was going to slow down. I mean,
no, like all the quote-unquote adult stuff comes out in the fall and the wintertime, right before like December, and then the popcorn movies come out in December.
Yeah, and that's fine. So,
because like November, December is like Maleficent, Frozen, Jumanji, and Star Wars.
Yeah, two or four for me. So
yeah, so it's like, you know, because I saw like it's kind of hard. Like it's a lot of stuff comes out. You gotta know when to catch it, and if you don't, you don't. Like I saw The Kitchen, with Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish. It was fun. I liked the movie. The critics trashed it. It was like it was there. It did what it had to do. It moved fast. It was never boring, and it was done. So,
yeah, they said that was based on a comic. I'm like, that's a comic I've never heard of.
Me neither. Like basically, like, you know, these Hell's Kitchen mobsters get arrested and their wives take over.
Okay. Yeah, I had never heard of it. So
me neither. And it's funny seeing Melissa McCarthy do dramatic stuff because she's good at it. You just never think of her doing it. It's like, she's been nominated for an Oscar twice.
Has she really? I never paid
attention to that. For Bridesmaid and then that dramatic movie that last year. I forgot the name of it.
Was that the one with Bill Murray?
No. It was some other movie. Imagine that. Who would have ever guessed that? Like, Melissa McCarthy is this big-time movie star that can still open up a movie by herself and been nominated for an Oscar twice. The big girl that used to be on CBS.
Yeah, boy, I know that, like, the guy that is in the show with her now has got to be like, God, or, well, the show's over, but he's got to be like, damn it.
What happened to me? Like, yeah, like, you know.
He's got another show coming up on CBS where he marries, I don't know, I'm going to say continent of Africa person, and it's some Doug.
That narrows it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like Doug and Nashane or something, and I went, huh? And then it goes by Chuck Lorre. I'm like, okay.
Of course. Whatever. You know what you're getting from there. Like, so. Yeah. Chuck Lorre is Todd Phillips with less talent.
Yeah. All right. We got to get out. I'm going to try and watch Woo Assassins over the weekend. At least get into a few episodes. Is it only 8 episodes?
It's 10.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, 10's not bad. I prefer 8 now, but whatever. So until then, everyone, Stunt Granny on all your social media. And that's how you can find this podcast as well. So thanks for listening, and she can take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and we're going to put some more damn respect on Bruce Lee's name, damn it. We are out.